Welcome to Pastor to Pastor, a ministry podcast with Pastor Mike Stone of Emmanuel Baptist Church in Blackshear, Georgia. More information is available at PastorMikeStone.com. And now, here's Pastor Mike.
Welcome back. I'm so glad you could join us again for this edition of Pastor to Pastor, a weekly time of practical information from my heart as a pastor in a local church where I've served nearly 25 years and as a leader in the Southern Baptist Convention. As an announced candidate for the presidency of the SBC, I want to take a few minutes today to discuss an ongoing controversy in our SBC. But first, let me remind you that at the first of the week, I like to share information to simply help pastors in the daily and weekly challenge of shepherding the local church biblically and faithfully. And one of the ways I want to do that is by providing some sermon ideas, sermon resources, and even a free sermon outline. I am a writer and regular contributor on the Sermon Search website, and you can find a lot of my messages over there, but I like to share one here each week as a free gift to the busy pastor. And with the raging question these days in the SBC, I'm sharing a sermon outline today from 2 Timothy chapter 2. It's a message I preached about 18 months ago called Women in Ministry and the Authority of Scripture. That sermon was prompted by some of the controversy surrounding John MacArthur's "Go Home" comment. And Pastor, if you think that could be of a help to you, please feel free to use that as you exhort your church on the biblical issue of complementarianism. Although I published an episode on this very subject last week, it just won't seem to go away. This really is a raging debate among our convention of churches, and it rather amazes me that some acknowledge that while simultaneously denying any drift among the churches of our convention. This debate is back in the news because of Saddleback Church in California. Yes, that's the church pastored by Rick Warren, one of the largest churches in our convention, and Rick is certainly a high-profile, well-known pastor. So it was understandably big news when the church's social media page stated, and I quote, "Yesterday was a historic night for Saddleback Church in many ways. We ordained our first three women pastors," end quote. The statement was followed by the name of three ladies that Saddleback had ordained as what they called pastors. Now, I believe this is a clear variation from the doctrinal position of the Southern Baptist Convention, and Saddleback apparently knows it's a shift in their own congregational polity and practice. The church began, according to its own website, in 1979. That's over four decades without ordaining a female pastor until last week, a decision their own social media post acknowledges as historic. So once again, Saddleback Church recognizes that something significant, again their word, something historic occurred with the ordination of these three women, even though we would rightly assume that Saddleback has had women serving in a variety of leadership positions in their noteworthy history. The word historic is correct, but it's not merely a historic night, it was a historic departure from biblical Baptist ecclesiology. This past weekend, as the story about Saddleback was widely discussed on social media, I was tagged in a request for a comment. As a presidential candidate for the SBC, that's a very legitimate question, and I'll say more about that in just a moment. But let me begin by answering the question, do I think the ordination of women pastors is a basis for inquiry by the SBC Credentials Committee? Absolutely and unequivocally, yes. With that in mind, I want you to consider several basic facts. First, inquiries into variants from our faith and practice by official action of a church is the very purpose of the SBC Credentials Committee, as revised by an amendment of SBC Bylaw 8 at the Birmingham meeting in June of 2019. Now, this is different from an accusation about an individual in the church. The Credentials Committee makes inquiries about church actions, and pastoral ordinations are certainly church actions. Such an inquiry is also wise because it's the right process. By that, I mean it's the process established by messengers to the SBC, and now it's the main process used to deal with such questions. Anyone can submit any church to the Credentials Committee for any reason. And if you feel this action by Saddleback or any other church warrants such an inquiry, you can submit that concern through the Credentials Committee website, and the web address is included in the show notes for this episode in case that could be of a help to you. Now, this is typically a slower process than some people would prefer, but I think that's actually a good thing. We should take time to gather all the facts. That's a wise thing to do. Our Credentials Committee process is a way to gather such information, and that's why the initial stage, if it is acted upon, is rightly called an inquiry. And herein is one of the dangers in today's social media world. We want an instant response and an instant decision. But the removal of a church, and I don't know that that's where this current case is headed, but if there is the removal of a church, it should be thoughtful, prayerful, intentional, and deliberate. These matters cannot be and ought not be tried and adjudicated over a weekend on social media. This past weekend, I was personally criticized on Facebook as a compromiser for not instantly responding and sharing all of my thoughts. Frankly, I have a wife and four kids and a life outside of SBC Twitter and Facebook, thank God. I have a church to pastor, and besides that, it was Mother's Day weekend and my mom's birthday. And honoring my mom and my wife on this weekend was exponentially more important to me than answering some critic on Facebook. Secondly, I think it's worth noting that inquiries, recommendations, and ultimate removal from our convention does not violate the autonomy of the local church. The convention does not grant autonomy to local churches and cannot take that autonomy away. We merely recognize and respect that autonomy. This distinction goes to the very heart of our approach to autonomous churches working together in voluntary cooperation. For while each church is autonomous, each other Baptist body is also autonomous in its own sphere. That is, the church is autonomous, but so is the local association. Likewise, the state or regional convention is autonomous, as is the national SBC. In a very real sense, determining who can be and cannot be considered in friendly cooperation with the SBC is not a violation of autonomy. Rather, it is literally an exercise of the autonomy that the SBC itself has to determine its own parameters of cooperation. Third, we need to remember that churches do not have to agree with every bit of the Baptist faith and message to be considered in friendly cooperation with the SBC. Rather, they must have a faith and practice which closely identifies. That's the language used in the Constitution. It must closely identify with the faith and practice of the SBC. But I believe a church that ordains female pastors falls clearly outside of that description and should be removed from our fellowship of churches if there's not some additional information that would mitigate this concern. In just a moment, I want to walk you through what the Credentials Committee inquiry would most likely look like. But first, I want to address a real challenge we have in the SBC these days. In my estimation, part of the problem is that SBC leaders have subtly assisted in the redefinition of terminology. In recent years, our leaders have embraced the idea of soft complementarianism, which, as I've stated in previous episodes, always seems to look a great deal like egalitarianism. Some have talked about tearing down the hierarchy within the SBC on this very issue. Meanwhile, others remained as silent as a church mouse when the SBC Executive Committee was criticized for not allowing the SBC Convention Hall to be used as a platform for a female teaching pastor at the 2020 SBC Pastors Conference. Some leaders, including noted SBC pastors, actually joined in that criticism. Furthermore, we've used national events, funded in part by our own cooperative program mission dollars, to let speakers come tell us that our complementarian theological position leads to the abuse of women and children. I want to ask a very serious question. What other religious organization pays to platform people to come and tell its congregation and its audience that its theological doctrine leads to child molestation? As a local church pastor, it would never cross my mind to hand over my pulpit and my microphone to have somebody come in and teach my church family that our theological positions and Bible doctrine was dangerous to the congregation. And now some of the leaders who spent the last few days tweeting about Saddleback's apparent violation of the Baptist faith and message are the same ones who just a few weeks ago were publicly defending a female preacher at a Baptist Bible college. May God grant us in this day some leaders who can raise their voices not only when there's some obvious breach of Baptist ecclesiology, but who have the God-given discernment to see the dangerous trends that are leading us inevitably in that direction. I will not be at all surprised if, in the next several years, those who have platformed female preachers in co-ed settings at Baptist Bible colleges and divinity schools, and those who have defended those actions, have some strange sense of shock when some of their graduates take local church positions and use those positions to have, of all things, female preachers. As surely as Route 66 West leads to California, brothers and sisters, that's where this road leads. It is at the very least an uncertain sound to model particular activities before our young men preparing for ministry in the local church and then lament when some of them go into local churches and replicate the very activities we have modeled for them in our Baptist divinity schools and Bible colleges. Now back to the question of an inquiry by the SBC Credentials Committee. For background, I was the chairman of the Executive Committee when Bylaw 8 was amended to its current form, and I served for the first year of the existence of the new Credentials Committee, and I know firsthand how that committee operates. First, I want to say that in the first 2 years of its existence, Stacy Bramlett and Mike Lawson have provided exemplary, compassionate, capable, stellar service as officers of that committee. Southern Baptists owe them a great deal of thanks for serving in a role that brings little more than gut-wrenching pain and constant unwarranted criticism. But here's what will likely happen in that committee, as most certainly many Southern Baptists will submit churches like Saddleback for consideration of inquiry. And by the way, this is not inside baseball. This is not confidential information. I'm just describing what the typical process would be like. Most likely at a regular meeting, usually held about once a month, the submissions that have come in through the website or through the mail will be added to the agenda and discussed. A vote will be taken on whether to place the church under inquiry. Now, if the vote is no, no inquiry, and it may well be in such cases, then the submission basically dies in that committee. If, however, the Credentials Committee does in fact place the church under inquiry, then the church would be contacted, ultimately in writing, and asked if it has any particular information or documentation to share that would explain the accusation of doctrinal deviation. The affected church may choose to not participate in the inquiry, and of course that's the church's prerogative as an autonomous local church. But assuming the church does participate in the inquiry, the Credentials Committee may engage in writing back and forth for some number of months. And after all of that is received, it will consider the response and vote to either close the inquiry, and again, if that's the case, the matter would die, at least at that point, or the committee would vote to recommend to the Executive Committee that the church be removed from the fellowship of the convention. At that point, the Executive Committee would take a vote which is considered final unless the church makes an appeal to the annual meeting of the SBC. Now, based on my personal observation and experience, these votes in the Credentials Committee and the SBC Executive Committee would not necessarily be unanimous on this particular subject. Now, there are also provisions in Bylaw 8 for these matters to be brought directly to the floor of the convention. That process is a bit more involved, and you may want to read that process for yourself in the bylaw. So I've linked that in the episode notes as well, and you want to click on that and scroll down to check out Bylaw 8. Now, the reason I've gone into a bit of a detail here is for one primary purpose. If these kinds of issues are of concern to you, as well I think they should be, you need to know how the process works. Because asking the opinion of a presidential nominee is very appropriate, and each candidate should be willing to answer. But for those who understand the process of SBC Bylaw 8, the really important question is, what do the new nominees to the Credentials Committee and the Executive Committee think? You see, those are the two committees that will actually act on all submissions and referrals. The SBC president is not a member of the Credentials Committee and is a regular member of the Executive Committee with no special rights in that body. But if you are truly concerned, I'd be finding out the doctrinal, theological opinion of the people being proposed by the nominating committee to serve on the Credentials Committee and the Executive Committee. And these days, it's really not that hard to do your research. Now, the presidency of the convention is important here. I'm not suggesting otherwise, because the president initiates a process that ends with the election of nominees to all the committees and boards, including these two who act on these referrals. As former SBC President Jack Graham tweeted over the weekend, this matter, quote, is a big deal and a growing problem in the SBC, end quote. And anyone who does not see this growing challenge is not ready to be the next president of your Southern Baptist Convention. Well, that's going to have to wrap it up for this episode. I try to keep them around 15 minutes each. But Pastor, please don't forget the free sermon resource offered in this episode. It's on the very subject of the role of women in the Lord's church. And if you can benefit from that teaching, please use it to strengthen your local congregation. This is Pastor Mike Stone asking you to subscribe to this new podcast, share it with a friend, and make plans to join me for each episode as we sit down and visit Pastor to Pastor.